At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome in, everyone, to this Bastards Series Prediction Show. The Red Sox just wrapped up a quick 2-game set with the Atlanta Braves, splitting that series. They now fly to Chicago to take on the worst team in baseball, the Chicago White Sox, for a 4-game set this weekend. I'm your host, Jason Kelly. I'm here with Jeremy Schilling and Terry Cushman. So let's dive right into this 4-game set. Starting on Thursday night at 8:10, Tanner Houck going up against Jake Woodford. Jeremy, who do you like in game one?
If we don't win this game, I'm going to be unwell. I mean, what kind of analysis do we need to go through here? Woodford's 0-1 with a 6.2 ERA. He's looks like made one start. Tanner Houck has a sub-2 ERA, sub-1 whip. Probably going to pitch in the All-Star game. I mean, my God, find a way, Boston, to get to 5 runs and win this goddamn game.
Sorry, who do you got?
I mean, you got to take Tanner Houck, and that's just all there is to it. I've never heard of Jake Woodford. He gave up 3 runs in his last start to an offense that's much better than ours. So if he goes 3 runs over 6 innings, I mean, they might have a chance. Let's face it. We don't have Chris Martin anymore. Bullpen's not quite as stout, but I'm taking Tanner Houck in game one.
The only way the Red Sox lose game one is if Tommy Pham, Tanya Harding's Tanner Houck before the game. it's the only way, because
which is on the table, by the way.
I don't put it out of the realm of possibility, because that guy is crazy. But yeah, that's it. I mean, Tanner Houck's been dominant all season. This White Sox lineup is really lacking in talent. They did get Luis Robert back from the injured list, but they really don't have much. This Jake Woodford is nothing special. I know the Red Sox offense has been a little Jekyll and Hyde at times, but they should be able to put 4 or 5 runs up against this guy, and Tanner Houck should be able to cruise. So I will also take the Red Sox in game one. Game two is Friday night, also at 8:10. Cooper Criswell going for the Red Sox against Garrett Crochet. Jeremy, who do you like in game two?
White Sox. Criswell's not pitched well, can't pitch deep in games. He's still a sub-4 ERA at 3.92. Whip's pretty good, 1.19. It just seems like a game they're going to lose. You know, it just seems like a game they're going to lose. Crochet's 5-5 with a 3.49 ERA. Struck out 93 guys already this year. 0.93 whip. We suffer from having no idea what the lineup's going to look like. But I just don't see them getting to 5 runs in this game, which is the sweet spot for this team to win. If it's Pivetta, Houck, maybe Crawford, maybe a bullpen game or a Bayo game, but Criswell's not it right now. I don't see him turning it around without some sort of break, as I think also Crawford needs. So this is a loss.
Terry.
I agree with Jeremy. Having said that, I'm not supremely confident. I think the Red Sox do have a decent chance to win it, but based on the pitching matchup, I think Chicago definitely has the edge. Just looking at their offense over the last month, nobody's really off the charts here on that White Sox team. You've got Paul DeJong hitting .239, but he has smashed 7 home runs in a month. Andrew Vaughn has been a somewhat productive first baseman for them the last few years. He's hit four home runs, hitting 241 with a on base nearly 80 points above that. Andrew Benintendi is his dismal self, but maybe he'll get a little inspired here facing his old team. Eloy, not too impressive, but not terrible either, hitting 250 with a 304 on base. Tommy Pham is their best hitter over the last month, hitting 280 with a 337 on base. And we'll see if Luis Robert can get himself back, into form here, freshly off the injured list. But those are the guys that can do the damage against Chris Swell, and I suspect the White Sox will win game two.
If the Red Sox were able to have the good fortune of missing Garrett Crochet in this series, I'd be prepared to call a sweep. But he's just really good. The White Sox have been waiting on him for a couple of years. He's had some injuries mixed in, but he is like their next big pitching prospect to come up and really make an impact. And he's finally healthy, and he's doing that. I don't trust what the Red Sox lineup can do against a guy like that. They haven't seen much of him, which is always a concern. And Cooper Criswell has gone a little bit backwards. So even though this White Sox lineup leaves a lot to be desired, I could still see them getting to him pretty early. And then you got to get that bullpen activated. Chase Anderson will probably make an appearance in this one too. I don't think it's going to go the Red Sox way. I don't think they'll get slaughtered, but I could see them losing like 4-1. And Crochet just dominates, and they just can, offense just can't get going. So I'll take the White Sox in game two as well. So with that, we'll move to game three, which is Saturday afternoon at 4:10. Brian Bello going up against Nick Nastrini. Jeremy, who do you got?
Sox. Bello, 6-2, 4.36 ERA. He's been super inconsistent, plagued by a little bit of the long ball, a little bit of the bad inning. But this Nick Nastrini guy, my God, 0-5, 9.74 ERA, 14 Ks, 20 walks. He's walked more than he struck out with a 2.07 whip. He's made five starts. He hasn't gone deeper than five innings, which he's done twice. I mean, guys, if you can't get to five runs and Bello has a quality start, I mean, you got to win this game. They're running a guy out there that shouldn't be in the big leagues. You got to win the game.
Terry.
Yeah, I'm just trying to pull up his minor league numbers real quick. Let's see. Well, unfortunately, I'm not quick. Nastrini was drafted in the fourth round in 2021. I mean, he was, and then the White Sox acquired him in the Joe Kelly, Lance Lynn trade in 2023. So I think the White Sox thought there was some decent upside there. But looking at his game logs, he is just a product of a last place team. He got torched three starts ago by the Blue Jays. 3 1/3, didn't strike out anybody, had an okay start against the Blue Jays in the rematch, so he made some adjustments. That was 5 days later. Five innings, three earned, struck out five, walked four, though. Walks are a huge problem with him. In his last three starts, he's walked 6, 4, and 3 batters. And then in his last start against the Brewers, four earned, only one strikeout. I mean, a bad offense should just eat this guy alive. He's just not good. The White Sox, they're looking at a lengthy rebuild here, so maybe they can build him up and develop him the way that they had hoped, but it's not going to be this weekend against the Red Sox. Give me Boston in that game.
Yeah, I'm taking Boston too. I mean, Brian Bello would have to have an apocalyptically bad start for them to lose this game. This Nastrini kid looks like he is not equipped for the big leagues at all. His minor league numbers are okay, but even they're not super impressive. He's got a pretty high ERA. down there as well. So I'm just not sure that he's really ever going to be a big league pitcher. He's been getting smacked around the last couple of his last couple starts, 17 earned runs in his last three games. So you're catching him at a good time because he's given up everything. And again, Red Sox offense can be on or off, but against this guy, they should have no problems whatsoever. So give me the Red Sox in game three as well.
Yep. The weird thing about Nastrini, he does have a 4.10 ERA in his career as a minor leaguer, but he's got 274 innings pitched with 376 strikeouts. So this is a guy who should be striking guys out. He's got 100 more strikeouts than he does innings. That's like off the charts. So I'm not sure what the disconnect is here at the major league level.
I think it's just, I forget which one you mentioned. I think it's just, he's a product of a young guy and a bad team. He probably shouldn't be pitching in the major leagues right now. He should be developing down in Double A or Triple A. But
question before we move to game four, would anybody be shocked if he goes 6 2/3, 2 hits, 0 earned runs and punches out 9?
Not even in the slightest.
No. And I think it was 2018. It was the World Series year. One of the series I went to Fenway to watch was against the White Sox, and Chris Sale threw a one hitter against a guy named Dylan Covey. Now, the problem with that was the one hit was a solo home run, and the Red Sox didn't score a run. Like, Chris Sale pitched an ace-level type game, and this no-name guy named Dylan Covey pitched the start of his life, was trash after that. We actually picked him up for one or two starts in 2021. Was terrible. We DFA'd him. But that will certainly haunt me if Nastrini does seem to figure it out for 6 or 7 innings.
And keep in mind, too, the Red Sox have literally never seen this kid. He's never pitched against the Red Sox in his career, which that can always be a little bit of a concern. The Red Sox, in their history, have struggled against guys that they've never seen before. But despite all that, I will still take them for game three because, boy, if you can't win that, I don't know what you're going to do. So with that, we'll move to the series finale Sunday afternoon at 2:10. Cutter Crawford, well, was listed to start, but now, according to Alex Cora, that is going to be a bullpen game for the Red Sox. We're pushing the rotation back a little bit. So bullpen game for the Red Sox, and they'll be going up against Chris Flexen. Jeremy, who do you like in the finale?
You're on mute, buddy.
Yep. I've been very successful about avoiding that, but I failed there. Flexen's 2-5, 5.19 ERA, 46 Ks, 22 walks, 1.34 whip. So we can get to him, I would hope. The management of the bullpen in the first three games is going to significantly alter my opinion going into Sunday with regards to our ability to win the game. If they have to lean on Bernardino and Slayton, I like our chances a lot less because I'd like to at least get 2 innings out of Slayton, Bernardino to maybe start this game. And if that's the case and you can get through 3-4 innings with those guys, I think you got a really good chance again to get to my magic number with this team, which is 5. I think it's too early to pick the game, to be candid, but that's not how the show works. I got to make a decision. Almost out of necessity, they got to win this game going into a difficult stretch in the schedule. So I'm going to take them. I don't love it. I wish we could revise the recording on Sunday morning to get some more information, but I'm going to have the Sox in this game with limited information.
Terry, who do you got?
Yeah, Jeremy was kind of touching on something that I was going to get into here. It just depends on how games 2 and 3 go to set up that fourth game. I mean, if Criswell turns in a dud on Friday and you're using up arms, and then let's face it, even if Bayo has a bad game, I fully expect the Red Sox to still win it on Saturday. But if he's just not efficient and he goes 4 and 2/3 or something, you're going to be burning more relief pitchers again. So it just depends on who you have available for that Sunday game. If Brad Keller has to go in there and give you three or four innings, I don't think I like it. But I just...
Keep in mind, Martin's been IL'd.
Yeah, no, I know, exactly. Yeah, I mean, who's your eighth inning guy now? Zach Kelly, I would assume?
Probably Slayton.
Or Slayton, yeah, true, absolutely. So you're not looking too bad in the seventh, eighth, and ninth, I guess. I mean, ideally, you would have Chris Martin, but I have to give it to the Red Sox in game four, but it's interesting. And Flexen isn't terrible. I mean, he's the second best starter in this series. So that could be a sideways game, but I got the Red Sox winning 3 out of 4 in this series.
Yeah, admittedly, it's very hard to pick Sunday's game with it being a bullpen game. You don't know who's going to be available, who's going to be on short rest, who's, you know, going to be fully rested. So for a tiebreaker, I kind of looked at Flexen's, you know, splits, his numbers. He's got a little bit of the Brian Bayo problem. Doesn't like pitching during the day. He's made 4 starts in day games, got an ERA of 8, and opponents are in 325 off of him. And he's also a bad home pitcher. Doesn't pitch well in Chicago at that ballpark. Has an ERA of 6 in his home starts. So combination of him pitching in that ballpark, day game, I think, you know, he's had a little bit of an up and down season. I think the Red Sox can get to him a little bit. If they can chase him early, kind of put the pressure on, keep adding a few runs here and there, and make the bullpen game a little bit easier for Alex Cora, then I think they can win. So for those reasons, I will reluctantly take the Red Sox on Sunday. I just think bullpen games present so much uncertainty, but I don't think this Chris Flexen guy is going to pitch very well. So I think that will help with having a bullpen game that day. So I will take the Red Sox to win the finale as well. So with that, we will wrap things up there. Keep an eye out for our Bastards Clown Takes episode coming your way later on. We're going to be doing some Rafael Devers talk. A certain radio host in Boston has an extreme idea of what to do with Rafael Devers, and we don't necessarily agree with it, or maybe some of us do. I don't know. But we're going to dive into it regardless, so keep an eye out for that, and we will talk to you guys all later. Have a great weekend. Take care.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.